And we are back with the breaking news this afternoon. The House of Representatives voted on a pretty much party line vote to send the articles of impeachment to the Senate. But it is unclear how exactly that will go down tonight when the impeachment managers, the Democrats, seven of them, walk over to the Senate side later this hour. Senate Republicans are telling us that they're not going to officially accept the articles of impeachment. They will instead tell the managers, come back tomorrow, then we will formally receive them. House Democrats are insisting they expect Republicans to accept the articles tonight. Let's chew over all this. I mean, this just really is so emblematic of where we are in terms of the Democrats and the Republicans, and they can't even agree to accept the articles of impeachment.
It's silly. And it, I think, defies the gravity of the moment. I mean, it really is, you know, you said earlier in your run-up that it really is a historic day, the third impeachment trial of a president of the United States. And this is the type of thing that I think the public should expect that they could work out in a phone call beforehand.
And that's right. It's the third. The first was Andrew Johnson in 1868. Then we had to go all the way to 1999 for Bill Clinton. Nixon was not actually impeached. He resigned before that could happen. Donald Trump today. It's very historical. It really does seem to bother the president. And I can certainly understand why. When Nancy Pelosi says, and I think she's certainly trying to get under his skin, this will never go away. This will be on. This will. You are forever impeached.
And then when the Chief Justice Roberts sits in the chair and says, at the end, he'll say before he bangs the gavel, in the impeachment trial of Donald John Trump, President of the United States, he is hereby acquitted, bangs the gavel. The president will get to say that as well. So,
yeah,
everybody gets to say their piece.
Listen to Speaker Pelosi how she closed her remarks this morning.
The president is not above the law. He will be held accountable. He has been held accountable. He has been impeached. He's been impeached forever. They can never erase that.
Why do you think she keeps saying that? I mean, she's not wrong. It's true. Is it just because she knows the Senate will ultimately vote not to remove him from office?
It's unthinkable that he won't be acquitted. And I think she says it because it's true. And she wants to point out the fact that this did happen. And let's not forget it. And it also gets under Trump's skin. You know, first of all, she drives him crazy. I mean, she's living rent-free in his head all the time. And so I know that she knows that she gets under his skin. And so I think that she wants to just keep repeating this as often as possible so that everybody understands that this is an impeached president.
Yeah.
And it's her last big day, right? So, you know, Chris D'Elisa had an article out yesterday or today. It was probably like she misjudged. She overplayed her hand, right? So it's her last big day. She transmits the articles and then the Senate takes over. So it's her last hurrah to kind of get in the president's head, as Kirsten points out.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that that's up for debate, because if ultimately the last, 28 days of holding it up did put enough attention on Republican senators and the question of whether or not they will allow witnesses, and we have no idea how that's going to shake out. Mm-hmm. But if ultimately Susan Collins, Mitt Romney, et cetera, during that 4 weeks were like, yeah, maybe I need to do the witnesses thing, then maybe she didn't overplay her hand.
We could have wrapped this up overnight and this thing could have gone away. We had a national conversation about the wisdom of calling witnesses. And the last thing on earth, Jake, that Susan Collins and Cory Gardner and Joni Ernst and Senator and Mitt Romney and senators who are either in tough races or in sort of purplish states want to do is be on the record casting a vote to say they don't want witnesses. And you know, had we moved straight to the impeachment trial, that wouldn't have happened. So this is still an open question. And frankly, what you're going to see, I think, is some deal on witnesses in some way down the road, just so those Republicans don't have to cast that.
In Mitt Romney's defense, he's neither up for re-election or in a purple state. He just
He's Mitt Romney,
and
that's there's more information that's come out, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I think that now they're going into this with more information. And with having had a conversation where the majority of the public thinks that we should have witnesses.
And Carrie, let's go over who the House impeachment managers will be. There are seven of them. Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Hakeem Jeffries, Jason Crow, I believe he's a freshman, Val Demings, Zoe Lofgren, who was there for the impeachment of Clinton and the near impeachment of Richard Nixon as a staffer. And finally, Sylvia Garcia. It's a diverse group in a lot of ways. There's also a geographic diversity to them. They come from New York, Florida, Texas, Colorado, California.
That's right. And I think the most significant selection is Chairman Schiff, because he has experience in being an impeachment manager, because he was a former prosecutor, and because he conducted effective hearings for the witnesses under the House Intelligence Committee. As someone who studies the House Intelligence Committee, I didn't love the idea of the Intelligence Committee actually being the public face and the venue through which impeachment hearings were conducted. Mm-hmm. But I understand why Chairman Schiff had to take those on, given the intelligence-related collections and the national security implications of the Ukraine allegations.
Just take a listen to one of the impeachment managers, Jerry Nadler, talking about the case for witnesses.
If the Senate doesn't permit the introduction of all relevant witnesses and of all documents that the House wants to introduce, because the House is the prosecutor here, then the Senate is engaging in an unconstitutional and disgusting cover-up. The Senate is on trial as well as the president.
What do you make of that, David?
So, look, Jake, I worked in the Senate during the last impeachment trial, right? I worked for Senator Spector's chief of staff.
The Scottish law thing was your idea, right?
Exactly. No, it was not my idea. But I can tell you that the gravity, it does settle in when the senators go and they take their oath of office, they take their oath and sit in those seats. So that'll weigh in. But there will be a very robust debate as to witnesses. During the Clinton impeachment, there was an incredibly robust exchange about who they're going to call, what they were going to call, how long it was going to last, what this burden of proof is for removing the president, right? What is the burden of proof? What do senators determine? Is it mere preponderance of the evidence? Is it beyond a reasonable doubt? I mean, there are lots of big questions they have to understand.
The big difference, David, in 1999 was that Lott and Daschle, the leaders of the Senate, met the night the House, or spoke on the phone, the night the House passed Articles of Impeachment and worked this all out. So you don't have that here.
Yeah.
I think it's much more of a food fight on the floor.
Well, the McConnell-Schumer relationship is not there, shall we say.
There's a lack of comedy just across all.
Totally. Yeah. And preceding this. Stay here. We got more to talk about coming up next. The new evidence of a potential sinister plot involving Rudy Giuliani, Ukraine, how it may only add to the push for witnesses and documents in the upcoming Senate impeachment trial. Stay with us.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, host of the Chasing Life podcast. In honor of our 10th season, we want to hear from you. Leave us a message at 470-396-0832. And tell us how you chase life. It could be used on an upcoming episode.